Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show is about to begin. If you're looking for a dull, feel-good religion, or clap your hands, sit around the campfire, kumbaya, you've come to the wrong place. We are dealing with toxic levels of authentic masculinity. I would say good luck. But luck is for pagans.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Adam Minahan here sitting with the David Niles.
Yes, high five. I was just waving to the...
Oh, to the...
you know, like, how do princes wave? Like, if you're a prince... Oh, like this.
No, like this.
No, that's how... That's queen.
That's like, queen.
No, this is I've seen the movie. It's elbow, elbow, wrist, wrist. Okay, I've seen the movie. I believe that royalty... males...
I like that. It's like, keep going.
Yes, thank you.
Please keep going.
Thank you. Thank you.
We want to give a shout out to Juan Posada. He is our producer... button pusher.
And clearly doesn't know anything about royal waves.
But we are very thankful for him. We are also very thankful for Jim Spencer, who is here. Guys, let me tell you something. Jim Spencer is the man who gets all of our Patreon supplies out to our patrons. If you order something on our store, which, by the way...
We have a store now.
It only took us 4.5 years, but we have a functioning store on our website, thecatholicmanshow.com. You can go and click store. But... he is the man that gets it all out to everybody, which is not an easy task, but he does it. And he does it for free because he loves helping, and he has a generous heart, and he's willing to... He wants to go to heaven, and he also likes the whiskey that we give him. So, thank you to Jim Spencer.
We do buy good whiskey.
That is true. Speaking of which, so we're going to talk about Advent today.
We are.
We're going to talk about Christmas lights as well, I believe.
Yes.
But before we do that, we're going to talk about the whiskey that we have in our Glencairn glass.
Mucho.
Which you can order a Catholic Mancho Glencairn glass on our store, or you can get one for free by signing up.
By becoming a patron.
By becoming a patron. Patreon.com/TheCatholicManShow.
Which you should do. If only if... you should only become a patron if you are looking to, become more of a man than you already are. We do have some women, and we're just going to be honest. The health effects of becoming a patron to the Catholic Man Show as a woman have not been studied. Okay? It has not been studied. The Patreon subscription has not been studied in females. People do it.
Mm-hmm. We're grateful.
We're just saying, we don't know what it's going to do to you. Okay? We know the effects of it has on men. Increase in chest hair, tripling average, on average, tripling bicep size. These are just average results. Mm-hmm. Sometimes death.
Sometimes death. Yeah. Wow.
Side effects include death.
Take it your own risk.
Death to self, yeah. Of course.
Death to self.
Yeah, learning to die to yourself.
Correct.
Anyway, yeah, so go check us out on Patreon, or, you know, you could just order a glass. Maybe it's a gift. Maybe it's a gift.
Maybe it's a gift.
Great gift.
We have Carla Broussard, who's going to be doing a 9-course specific for us, for patron members, starting in January. So go to thecatholicmanshow.com for more information, because we'll be talking about that very soon. Dave, the whiskey.
Okay, so this is a product of Glenmorangie. And when I saw it, I believe my brother-in-law, Drew, introduced this.
He's been hooking us up recently. Yeah,
he has been really on. He's been venturing, which he's been introducing me to some stuff. This is Glenmorangie, A Tale of Cake. It's so when I saw it, look, like the box is very interesting. Like it's a here we go. It's a very like oh well, check that out, you know, and it just didn't look like something you'd see from Glenmorangie. So it caught my eye. I don't know how to say this, but it's a Tokaji, Tokaji. Tokaji? I don't know. Tokaji dessert wine cask finish. So I'm going to tell you that I don't know what Tokaji is, but they finish it in those barrels. So I just was I know very little about it, but Glenmorangie is a, you know, they're a very solid name. And so I figured, let's give it a shot. Let's just see what it's like.
So it's a limited edition, and it's
limited edition.
It's obviously going to have sweeter notes to it. So we'll see. Let's see what the ABV. It's 46 ABV.
So it's even a little stronger.
All right, we're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers. Cheers, Juan.
Cheers.
Cheers, Jim.
El Juan.
Yeah. Nice. The nose, so it's a lighter color, amber is the nose. You have the sweet honey, like almost honeysuckle.
Yeah.
And then you also have a little bit of like cake batter. A little sweetness to it. A little oat. Let's see. What'd you think? What'd you think of the palate?
Okay, so when I bought this, I told the guy at the register, I hope it doesn't taste too much like cake. And that's coming from a guy who adores cake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But I don't want my whiskey to taste like... I don't want it to taste like someone mixed icing into my whiskey, right? Mm-hmm. And this, I'm very glad. I'm happy about the way it tastes. To me... I think if you had given this to me and said, what is this? I would have been able to tell you that is a Glenmorangie. It is very much has that Glenmorangie family upfront taste to it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I like that they haven't gone off the reservation, you know, into something way in left field. But that's all the notes I have so far. It's just like whenever I am tasting whiskey, sometimes something will present itself to me, and I get kind of stuck on that one thing, and it takes me a few more, a few more passes at it before I pick up on some of the stuff, other stuff. Got to ignore that one element of it for me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. Let's see what it says here. Okay, so it says a hint of mint. I was going to say at the end, I'm getting like a minty taste to it.
There is mint in there, yeah.
And I was like, that's what I was trying to figure out. Like, I didn't want to say mint without like reading. Maybe it says mint on here because mint was kind of a...
That is interesting, but it's not peppermint.
No.
It's like mint.
It's like the leaf, like mint leaf.
Right, yeah, exactly. And it's just a hint. It's not... Overwhelming.
Complex with layers and bursts of honey, white chocolate fruits with a hint of mint.
I'm also getting a little acorn.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Maybe it's just because you've been shooting some deer, been having to clean deer up and seeing a bunch of acorns.
It could be. I did not see many acorns, but...
Oh, they didn't have many acorns in the stomach?
It had a lot of corn. Some you could have reused, put back in the feeder.
Well, congrats on getting you a couple deer.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Got some
two in 2 days, yeah.
Got some good meat in the fridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went hunting this last weekend. I shot a good size doe. It's like 130 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good size. Mm-hmm. And then I shot a young buck. He was really a cull buck, like needed to get him out of the food chain. His antlers were like terrible. We had like a stub on one side and then just 2 points on the other. But he was like 140 pounds, so it wasn't that big. But
he's a little guy.
Yeah. But he's going to taste so good.
You guys are going to process him together as a family tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow. So I went with my father-in-law, and we are going to attempt to start a new Advent tradition, which we're going to be talking about today, Advent traditions.
Yes.
Of processing deer meat. So nothing says Christmas like ground deer.
Yeah.
And grinding deer. So I have no idea what it's going to be like. You know, like how big of a project is it? Because we have probably 70 pounds of...
It's a lot of meat.
Of meat total.
It's a lot of meat.
We're going to be grinding...
For a while.
You know what? We might have more than that.
It's a lot of meat.
I don't know. 70, 80 pounds total. And so we're going to be grinding maybe half of that.
You're going to sausage and jerky the other?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, to make sausage, we were able to get some beef fat from Reesers for like 15 cents a pound, which is, you know, pretty cheap. But to make sausage, you need pig fat.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot make sausage with beef fat alone. You have to have pig fat. So I don't think we're going to be making any sausage tomorrow. But I think we're probably just going to make it ground.
Ground it up.
What do you call it? Because not just ground deer.
Yeah.
I mean, ground venison.
Mm-hmm. Ground deer meat. That's what I call it. I don't know what the technical term is, I guess. But I'm kind of a little bit of a redneck at heart.
Yeah.
So.
You shoot it, you eat it.
Yeah. Ground deer is good enough for me.
Yeah.
Not looking for any other fancy words.
Yeah.
So
it was very fun.
Good.
Very fun.
Good.
Yeah. Shout out to Matt Eklund.
I hooked you up with some land.
He's like a deer. It's like a deer resort, except for the ones that get shot. Those do not.
Those are
not so resorty for them.
Are you reading anything new during Advent?
No.
No? What are you reading right now? Have you taken a break?
Well, I just started The Picture of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde.
Okay.
Which is the first Oscar Wilde book I've ever read. He is an incredible author. Like, just the way everybody has their own style, you know. He has a really beautiful language, and just in his the way he just describes common stuff. It's like, wow, that was a sweet way to say that.
Nice.
And I'm still reading The Discernment of Spirits by
the guy that
the
you...
The priest that I can never remember.
Yeah. I'm working my way through right now Aquinas' commentary on Aristotle's Ethics.
Nice.
So.
I'm reading St. Paul's commentary on that commentary.
Nice.
Yeah.
Triple stamp again, double stamp.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. Juan Posada on the buttons, ladies and gentlemen. And Jim Spencer in the Peanut Gallery. This segment of the Catholic Man Show brought to you by the Catholic Woodworker, TCMS, promo code TCMS at thecatholicwoodworker.com for 10% off all purchases. This is a great website if you need a Christmas gift.
Yep.
For the faithful Catholic.
Check out the...
in your circle.
Our video right now, you see the home altars right here and right over there with St. Thomas Aquinas. That's a great way to sanctify your hotel room. If you are a traveling salesman or a traveling businessman, it's a great way to sanctify your home. It's far in your bedroom or something like that to have a reminder to be praying.
Yeah. So, go to that website. Check out his stuff. Also, he's got great rosaries. Also, today is the feast of St. Ambrose.
St. Ambrose, yeah.
Add this to the calendar of liturgical living. My sister brought over ambrosia salad today.
We made it too.
Did you made ambrosia salad?
I did too.
Shout out to my new godson, Joseph Ambrose.
Ooh, you have a godson, Joseph Ambrose.
Nice. Congrats.
Awesome. Yeah, happy feast day to him. But also, ambrosia salad is delicious.
What is it?
It has marshmallows in it.
What is it?
It's like
yogurt.
It's like
pecans.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know what these are. Yeah, I've had this before.
It's like a fruit salad, kind of.
With marshmallows.
It's the kind of thing that, like, I think I could eat a gallon of.
In moderation, of course.
I mean, like, I really might be able to do that. You can just keep eating it, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You just want, when you eat it, you just want more because it's, you say, that's healthy, right? Because it's a salad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm eating salad from now on. In fact, I did that 1 year.
Nice.
I only ate salads. Do you remember that year?
No.
Yeah. It was like 2 years ago. For Lent, I said, I'm only eating salad. Nothing but salad. But I just had a very loose interpretation of what was a salad.
Right.
Okay. You know, when I stumbled upon like fruit salad and pasta salad, I realized like, this is not a salad. Everything's a salad. Oh, I'm having a burger salad.
Nice.
It's exactly a burger.
Yeah.
Except it's a salad. It's a combination of things. Okay. Just like a salad. Anyway, we're talking about Christmas lights today. That's the man gear.
Yeah, so last week we talked about caroling, and we're going to be doing that here very soon with our children. So we're talking about Advent today as the topic, and so Christmas lights is a good man gear that kind of blends into the topic.
But yes,
because we're trying to figure out ways as men, like how do men prepare for Advent?
Yeah,
which is something,
and I think putting up Christmas lights is one way. And it's like you're not. I keep saying that too. Prepare for Advent, but it's really prepare for Christmas during Advent. Doing Advent well.
You're right.
You don't like
prepare for Advent. Otherwise, we would have been like doing that back.
Yeah,
in ordinary time.
I think actually there is some preparation for Advent. You think like, what am I going to do for Advent to prepare? You know, like the week before Lent, you start thinking about what am I going to do in Lent? You know, so there is a preparation for Advent. But right now, we're talking about the stuff that you've already decided to do, or the stuff that it's not too late to decide to do. That's what we're talking about today. But Christmas lights. I am a big fan of Christmas lights.
Me too. I'm a Clark Griswold.
Yes. I would like to have more than I have. I have what I would call barely sufficient amount of Christmas lights. It's not ideal at all.
I used to have a lot more, but I broke a bunch of them moving and things like that.
Yeah.
So my Christmas light supply has dwindled and I haven't replenished.
Because
every year I'm like, oh, I'll wait till the end of the year and get some on discount. And I forget or they're already out.
Can you still buy the kind that you... Because you have the old school...
Yeah, the C9 bulbs.
Well, I have C9 is the size.
Right.
But you have actual light bulbs.
Yes.
They're not LEDs.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I really like those because...
I do too, because they put off that warm glow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like that old-fashioned... The color of the Christmas lights you have, I think, is nostalgic for at least a man of a certain age, man of a certain level of accomplishment, right?
I like that way better.
Yeah.
Use take two, Juan.
Yeah. Yeah. Scratch take one. Thanks, Juan.
Yeah.
We should just start saying stuff like that as if like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. Or like...
As if he's going to do that.
Can you edit my voice a little lower?
That'd be great. That'd be great, Juan. Good job.
But yeah, so like for me, you know... I was born before LED lights were a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can remember before the internet.
Right.
All right? I'm going bald. All right?
It's true.
But at least I can... Anyway. Moving on. I'm not going to...
Way to temper it yourself.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
That was really good of you.
It's a sign of old age. But so anyway, the lights that you have, I just like because that I associate that kind of warm glow with Christmas.
I did too.
You know, when the whole neighborhood was lit up in this like kind of yellowy color.
Yeah.
It was like, ooh,
it's awesome.
Santa Claus is coming.
Yeah. I mean, it's so great. And
I'm going to get that BB gun.
Yeah, it is so. I just love those. I'm going to fight the LEDs as long as I possibly can.
But also, I have LEDs just because when I went to buy Christmas lights as an adult, that's what they had. You know, they do like really pop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the only thing I don't like about the LED lights, or the main thing I don't like about LED lights,
yeah,
is that it looks too, and this is going to sound weird, but it looks too techie. It looks too like sci-fi. It looks too, it doesn't look inviting. It doesn't look warm. Like you were saying, like those real Christmas bulbs look like Christmas to me.
Uh-huh.
And those other ones just kind of look like promotional lights, or you know, some kind of technical like computer lights.
No, I know what you mean, and I actually agree with that. Like it's there is a balance, and you know how like you can tell when some people, it's like you obviously had your lights professionally hung.
Sure. Yeah, right.
Those, and it's like also you didn't buy your lights at Lowe's because those lights, you know, I don't know how they do it, but they'll cut a strand that's 4 feet long just to go in this one piece of gutter you have. I think that they have lights that are able to, like, you know, they're more versatile in, like, the way that they're made with the strand lengths and stuff.
Yeah.
Custom. Those don't have, they're not quite as sharp. They're still LEDs.
Right.
But they don't, like, cut through the night quite as viciously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, like, The ones that are really sharp like that, at first you go, wow, that house is really popping.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you that over time, like, that initial impression, while stunning, it doesn't, in the end, deliver the same effect.
It doesn't feel welcoming to me.
I agree.
It's
a little showy.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on when to put up Christmas lights?
Okay, so I'm kind of a stickler with this. And this year, I think people were just getting a little too rambunctious.
Right. I think we talked about that on one of the shows.
Yeah. So there's someone in our neighborhood who had ghosts on their front porch on like September 5th.
Mm-hmm.
September 5th. They had ghosts.
Okay, but
it wasn't like
what about
fall decorations.
I understand, but I'm talking about...
So they're doing... And the same... Well, like... So people, they just had nothing to do. They're getting all cooped up. Like, I'm going to put up Christmas lights. I don't care that it's October 1st.
Right.
You know?
So when do you...
It's Thanksgiving.
After Thanksgiving.
After Thanksgiving.
I agree with that. So like a lot of people...
I think you can put them up before then, but don't turn them on.
Right, yeah, right. Because if you live in the north where it snows heavily and it gets really cold, like it would be okay to put them up before Christmas or before Thanksgiving, as long as you don't turn them on. You leave, you turn them on after Thanksgiving. And there's, you know, some people who talk about, okay, well, when do you put them up and why do you do you wait till actual Christmas to turn them on? Like, when do you actually listen to Christmas music like all this stuff?
Right. Like, okay, so like if you're really hardcore, you're gonna say like, no, I'm not turning my Christmas lights on until Christmas.
Okay. Christmas Day.
And I understand.
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, maybe you could say. The vigil. Once it's the vigil, you know, like, all right, I get what you're saying about that, okay? It's not Christmas yet. I also agree. Mm-hmm. Advent isn't Christmas, okay? But, like, that's just not the hill I think anybody should be dying on, right? Like,
well, and so if Advent
Christmas
is to
lights
prepare,
aren't just as much a cultural thing as they are a religious thing, and that's okay. Like, we want the culture and religion to blend, because that's when religion actually begins to affect the culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's still this element in the Christmas Advent season of goodwill. Even among atheists, you know, like that's because the good news of Christ influenced the culture. So we should allow and promote the Christmas celebrations to become cultural.
So here's my thought. Here's when I think that you should put your, and this is something you have to learn over time. This is what, like, when you've had experience of years of doing this, that you start listening to Christmas music and you start, you know, playing, having your Christmas lights up when it prepares you for Christmas, but not to the point when Christmas actually arrives and Christmas season starts. You're so burnt out that you don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
The reason why we listen to Christmas music and, you know, you have your lights up is you're preparing for Christmas. Preparation for Christ our Savior to be here. And if you're preparing so much that you're too burnt out by the time Christ is here, then you're defeating the purpose. Yeah. And so sometimes that means that you can start right after Thanksgiving and be just fine. Other people may not like Christmas music as much as others, or maybe burnt out by the time they're trying to get the Christmas lights down by December 26th.
Yeah, some people take them right down. Yeah, you definitely got to leave them up through the octave.
Absolutely.
And on the other side of the break, I just want to finish this by just giving a little bit of history where Christmas lights came from. Why do we even put them up?
Okay.
Because it's just it's a very short story.
Okay. So we're sitting here drinking a little Glenmorangie. The cake? The Tale of Cake?
A Tale of Cake.
A Tale of Cake?
I can't wait for them to come out with A Tale of Pie. That's going to be great.
We'll be right back.
I am mucho macho.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm still David Niles. Still here with Adam Minahan, Juan Posada, and Jim Spencer. Okay, just want to wrap this up from what we were talking about, Christmas lights. There was a tradition, a long tradition, about putting candles on your Christmas tree. This is a bold decision, in my opinion. I think people used to be incredibly brave. I've watched Christmas trees light on fire. It's incredible, and it's terrifying.
Glorious.
The thought of it happening in your living room.
Right, yeah.
So, like, a lot of houses used to burn down. And it would, like, be a thing where they'd light them on Christmas Eve for, like, 5 minutes. You know, like, okay, great, we sang the song, quick, blow them out, you know. Well, a guy by the name of Edward Johnson, who was a friend of, the guy who invented the light bulb, Edison.
Thomas
Edison, right.
Tom.
Tommy boy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was his buddy. He was the one who first proposed, hey, we should put this string of electric light bulbs on the Christmas tree instead of these candles so that we don't have to, like,
worry about burning down.
Yeah. Maybe die.
Right.
You know? It's like, but so they would light the Christmas tree as a sign of, it's supposed to be representative of the light of Christ coming into the world. So, you know, they would do it on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so then the electric light thing was a hit. It was like big, big light bulbs, right? And then General Electric was the first one in the early 1900s to make one. They had some commercially available before General Electric, but they would have been like $80 for a string of 8 light bulbs in today's. And so it just wasn't. It was like, at the time, a week's wages for someone.
Mm-hmm.
So people weren't doing it. Well, General Electric, they came in and made the first one that was like commercially feasible for people. And which is like funny, because the light bulbs I have, the Christmas lights I have in my house, they're General Electric Christmas lights. Like,
yeah.
General Electric, I didn't realize, was so part of the Christmas light story. You know, it's mm-hmm. kind of interesting. So, anyway, that's it. And so it grew from there. People started putting more and more lights on the Christmas tree, and it looked so good. And they're like, oh, well, let's put some inside. And then they moved outside. And the last thing I want to say is, men, like, if your wife is hanging Christmas lights outside of your house, you should be ashamed of yourself. Okay? That's what I think. I think the same about when I see, like, women mowing the yard, and I know that they got a husband inside. All right? They should be ashamed of themselves. Making your wife hang Christmas lights in your house is embarrassing. I said it.
Okay.
I'm not. Don't take it back. Okay. So let's talk about preparing for Advent on a personal level.
Okay.
Advent, I think, is one of those seasons people get a little bit confused. Is it Lent? Is not Lent? You know,
but it's penitential.
You know, but it is a penitential season, mm-hmm. right? And so, what is it? You know, what is it? What does that mean? How am I supposed to be penitential if it's not? Because you hear everybody say, like, oh, but it's not Lent. You know, don't make it a second Lent. Well, actually, there is some precedent for calling it a second Lent. It used to be considered very much like Lent. So I'm not saying that's what you should do, but it is a penitential season. I do think that there are some differences. In Lent, it's kind of more focusing on your sins. And this is just my own.
This is David Niles.
This is just David Niles.
This is not
Niles.
The church. This is right. David Niles.
Exactly. Get it. Yeah, exactly. So you know it's good. You know it's good. In Lent, I tend to think about my sins and, like, kind of the negative things about me. Like, you know, here's the pain that I've caused Christ. Here's, you know, like, you know, here's my lowness, my meanness. Mm. In Advent, and so I fast almost like a reparation. In Advent, I might be doing the same fasting, but it's not so much focused on my own sinfulness, but focused on the joy of the incarnation. And, you know, I fast in order to draw close to Christ in that way, not in order to, like, make reparation, even though fasting does make reparation. But it's more of like I'm going to do this joyfully. He's coming. I better prepare myself. You know, I better cleanse. Like if you were to do a cleanse, you know, like a juice cleanse. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you do a juice cleanse, does that mean you get to drink juice all the time? Because I love juice.
Yeah,
might be something I consider. But I'm doing a juice cleanse with my hamburger. But so that's kind of the difference for me. It's a little bit of just a mental shift. That's the kind of the way I interpret it. What do you think? I mean, like, what are your thoughts on the difference between the two?
On the different, yeah, I think you're probably right. So, I was trying to reflect on this the last couple of days when I found out this is what we were talking about, and trying to figure out, like, how do I prepare for Advent? I'm not very good, to be honest with you, at preparing for Advent. You know, how do I think about, you know, our Savior coming into this world, the incarnation coming down in, you know, God made man here on this earth, and I was like, man, I don't even know how to go about this. And so I thought about something that my wife does amazingly well, is that she intentionally makes sure that, and this is something that I've really missed since I've started working from home. This is one thing I didn't realize I'd miss as much until I started working from home. My wife is very good at making sure that when I come home from work, that the children greet me at the door.
Yeah.
And the children...
You're right. I do miss that.
I mean...
But you get to be with them so much more working from home.
Right. But there's so much joy. Like, you know, and each child at the different age has to be intentional about doing that, right? I have Leo, who is only 1 year old. He is, like, standing by the door, and he's been standing there for about 10 minutes waiting for me to arrive.
Uh-huh.
You know, because he has to get there first. Otherwise, he's going to miss out. And then I have Anna, who is only coloring right at the door, because she has to make sure to get there quickly and she doesn't want to be distracted, so she's just coloring.
I'm taking three of those home with me, by the way, today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Evening. She gave you three pictures.
I think I got two drawings and a watercolor.
Nice. Yeah.
It's a big haul.
Right. And the boys are still making sure that they're doing chores at the home. And so, like, but the reason why my wife does this when she knows that I'm coming home is that so
what does she do? She tells them, like, Dad's almost home.
Okay. And so that they intentionally do things that are close by the door, so that way they can greet me when I come home.
I mean, I'm sure it doesn't take much encouraging. I'm sure that they, like,
they're excited.
Yeah, they would.
But then I started thinking about, wow, how intentional that is for welcoming me back to the home. Okay, and then when Christ, and then I tried to relate that to, okay, well, how are we doing that when Christ coming back to the, you know, coming to earth, you know, coming to take us back home?
Uh-huh.
You know, what are we doing? How intentional are we being to welcoming Christ onto earth?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I do a very good job at it, to be honest with you. I wasn't sure
where you were going with that at first, but I think it turned out to be a good analogy.
The analogy was there?
Yeah, like, okay, so you might be doing some of the same things, but you're doing, hopefully, some of those same things differently. Like, they're coloring anyway, but now they're coloring by the front door.
By the front door, right.
Okay, you know, like...
My boys do chores, but now they're doing chores that are by, you know, by the front door, that are in the living room or helping mom make dinner. That's close to the door, so they can greet me at the door.
Right. Yeah. So I kind of think about it. You know, is
I
do like that analogy, and so just apply that in everybody's own situation. You know, how can I do these things? You know, in as a way of preparing.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to use the analogy of, like, thinking about yourself as a knight. Okay, so a knight gives everything to the king. Total gift of self. You know, it's a beautiful relationship between knight and king.
Chivalry.
Yes, it's very, exactly. Well, our king is about to be born. We need to be ready on Christmas to make that gift of everything. You know, so what are the areas that you are not making? And I'll tell you, I have a lot. Mm-hmm. I have so many. I agree, but I have some areas. You would know. I mean, you know me pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some areas of my life are better than others. I have some areas where I really, really struggle every day. But just being ready to make that, so, I mean, we need to have it to give to him. You know, so it needs to be prepared. We need to prepare our lives and ourselves, even if it's just mentally kind of, okay, yes, I need to make a change. Mm-hmm. Kind of deciding to change.
So Father Mike Schmitz, I listened to an episode a while back on him talking about Advent, and he talked about that one of the best ways you could prepare during Advent is think that on December 25th will be the last day of your life.
Ooh, I like it.
And so all of Advent, for 4 weeks, you are preparing for your death on December 25th.
Right.
So you have four more masses on Sunday. You can go to mass, obviously, every day, but yeah, at least four more masses to attend.
Yeah.
You know, you have the penitential rites that you normally have at the parishes where you can go to confession.
Right.
But you have to intentionally be aware every single day this is one of the last days.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of the Christian life, right? Is that Christ is coming so that we can go spend eternity with him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. What if he was literally coming? Like, what if it is the second coming?
Right.
You know, and this is the end of the world. Probably won't be. But prepare like it is, because it will come at an hour. I mean, it could be. We don't know.
And whether you know, Christ's second coming is the you know, the final judgment or if it's your death and it's your, you know, Christ's second coming is you leaving this world.
Right.
You have to be prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And so that when he told me
it could be a second coming just for you. You might die.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when he was giving that homily, I thought, man, that is such a that is probably the best way I've ever heard of how to prepare.
Yeah, I do
Advent.
Like that. Yeah.
And like just mentally, because it goes back to intentions. Like you're going to do the same things every day that you normally do. Most likely, you're going to still have to go to work. You're still going to have to eat. You're still going to have to do all these other things.
Yeah, but probably you won't. I mean, if you're really thinking about that, I'll bet as you go about your life, your day to day stuff, I'll bet there's some things you say, I'm not going to scroll on Facebook.
Right, but you're gonna be intentional with intentional. So it goes back to, you know, kind of my analogy with the kids. They're doing things, kind of the same things that they do every day.
Yeah.
But with intention about them.
Right.
And so that's kind of how I linked it all together. And when I was listening to him say that, I was like, man, that is the best way I could think.
He's so awesome. You know what we should do? We should like copy, like get a script of his episodes and then read them as if we're saying them. That would be a great Catholic Man Show episode, I bet.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Talking about Advent, how to prepare or how to live Advent virtuously. Well,
yes.
I almost said prepare again. One of the things that I love about Advent as well is that you get to hear about St. John the Baptist in the readings.
Uh-huh.
And you get to hear about, you know, him preparing the way for Christ.
Yeah.
And every year, you know, I listen to the readings, I reread the readings, and I just feel like that I just missed that last year. How did I miss that last year?
Yeah.
And it's so weird.
John the Baptist was so awesome, too.
He was so awesome. And it's so weird how there's so many times when you read Scripture that you're thinking like, oh, wow, I can't believe I missed this last time. But that's the beauty of what Scripture does, right? It's not that Scripture has changed. It's that you are now growing in God's grace, and you're seeing things or reading things that you hadn't seen or read before.
Yeah. It's always new.
It's always new. Ever ancient, ever new.
Right.
And so I just love listening to the gospel readings of preparing, you know, the preparation of Christ, you know, from John the Baptist to the Annunciation to the thought of Mary being pregnant, 6 months pregnant, and then not worrying about herself, knowing that she has the Christ child, and worrying about somebody else, her cousin, and traveling super pregnant, you know, to go see her cousin Elizabeth, to tend for to her, not to herself.
In fact, I have an assignment. I would like to assign something to everyone. This is your homework, everybody. In your prayer between now and Christmas, I want you to really meditate on the thoughts and the feelings, the emotions, the experience and life of the Blessed Virgin Mary in those last days before Christ was born. You know, here she is pregnant. She knows that the Savior of the world is in her womb, and she is going to deliver him soon. And just the anticipation, the love, the joy, the anxiety that she must have felt. Because I sometimes catch myself like with the notion of, oh, the Blessed Virgin Mary was, she only was positive. She never had like negative emotions or, you know, bad feelings about stuff. That's probably not true. You know, like, I'll bet she was very anxious about
never to a sinful nature.
Never, of course. But those kinds of things are
human.
Like, because she would love the her child so much, she would like want it to be perfect, you know. So like when she sees the cave that she's going to deliver the Savior of the world in, you had to know that struck a blow to her heart, that she couldn't give the Christ that she knew was going to be delivered a more worthy place. You know what I'm saying?
She was also, let it be done to me according to thy word.
Right.
She's always...
I know, but like, she would be resigned to it, but she would want more for her son.
Yeah.
Always.
So.
She would want him.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So anyway, that's your homework. Take that to prayer and just meditate on that, and just really invite Our Lady into this Advent, because she is like... She's the patron saint of Advent. I mean, like, mm-hmm. I don't know if officially she is, but how could she not be, right? So anyway, we kind of talked a little bit about internal things we can do as men. I want to talk about some external things that we can do as men to prepare for Christmas during Advent. We already talked about putting up Christmas lights, and those are, I actually think that's an important thing to do. If you don't put up Christmas lights, I'm just going to ask you why. Why don't you? You know, if you can't afford Christmas lights, okay, that's a reason. If you're just like if you've never done it before, well, do it. It's awesome. It's very liturgical. You know, we change the colors of the season. You know, mm-hmm. We got purple going on right now. So put up Christmas lights as like a way of decorating your house liturgically. I also think that we should be, as men and especially fathers, instituting and enshrining Advent traditions within our families. Okay, so I want to just talk about some Advent traditions. There's the basic ones, the Advent wreath. Mm-hmm. Maybe a Jesse tree.
Man, we've been so bad about the Advent wreath this year so far.
It's not too late. That's the thing. It's not too late.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but you have it. Yeah. I mean, man, it's just been.
Yeah, but so, you know, just because you miss the first, you know, the very beginning of something, just hop in. It's sort of like novenas. Sometimes, like, oh, the novena, it's like, oh, well, I missed the first day. I guess they just won't do it.
Don't do that.
I used to do that.
Right.
It's like, no, I'll just start on day two, and like, I wish I didn't do that, but right. That's where I am,
right.
You know? So, we know, and we're going to go Christmas caroling this year.
Yes.
Kids. Putting up the Christmas tree, mm-hmm. You know, all of these things. And when you're doing all of these things, this is just my own personal opinion. Try to remove Santa. I'm not saying don't do Santa. If you want to do Santa with your kids, that's it, you know, do Santa. Mm-hmm. But the Christmas tree isn't so that Santa can put presents under it. Okay, there's a Christian tradition behind the Christmas tree. We're not talking about it today. I think we've talked about it last year. Go look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all of the things that these traditions should be about Jesus.
Right.
Okay, and we need to make sure that we are Christ-focused with our children, you know, so that they know that Christmas is not about presents. Christmas is about Jesus.
Which is so hard to do.
It's very hard to do.
Can I tell you something funny?
They might like the presents more, but they still intellectually will know if you tell them mm-hmm. that it's about Christ.
When I was a little kid, and I knew that, like, you know, I understood that this is like, I don't know, when I was 7 or 8, 9 years old, somewhere around in that area, I knew God can take your life. You know, you could die at any point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in Advent, one of my internal Advent traditions was I would start praying about a week before Christmas and said, Lord, if I'm going to die, let it be the day after Christmas so I could at least see what my presents were.
Yeah.
And I would do that every night, like a week before Thanksgiving, or a week before Christmas, because it's like, I just want to know what my presents are. Because
they're there.
They're there. I just don't know. You know.
There's a one box that's really big with my name on it.
I have no idea what it is. But yeah, that's what I used to do when I was a little kid. Like, Lord, I know you could take me at any time, but please just make it at least December 26th.
Yeah. Please. And let me get a Red Ryder BB gun. Yeah. Okay, so what are some other traditions that you think are good that you had growing up, maybe, or ones that you do with your kids?
The one like that is focused on Jesus is confession. The one that we always made sure that we did as a family was the penitential rite. Whenever the church,
like the parish,
when the parish brings in 10, 15, 20, however many priests, and you go to confession, and so like that was always a way that my father said, like, this is what we're going to make sure we do before Christmas is make sure that our souls are right. To lead into the Christmas season. Mm-hmm. So, that was probably, like, the biggest thing. I mean, we did the wreath. We did the caroling, things like that. But that's the one that always sticks out to me the most is, like, because, like, it was always on a Wednesday, which when you're a kid, that's just so inconvenient.
Yeah.
Dad, I'm already going to church on Sunday, and if I have another activity, throughout, mm-hmm. I'm already going again, like, at church. Now you're asking me to go on Wednesday as well, like... it's just another thing that you had to do.
Yeah.
And
extra holy day of obligation.
Right. Yeah.
Tuesday this week's holy day of obligation.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah. So I think that also this is a good time to, like, reach out to your neighbors. Okay. Chances are a lot of people have their neighbors. You never talk to them. This is a great opportunity, a great time where it's not awkward to bake your neighbors a plate of cookies. With a note that just says, Merry Christmas, may God bless you this Christmas season. And just go give it to them. It's like, if you do that on just a random day, people might think, like, well, that was very nice, but I wonder why they did that. They're not going to think that now. It's Christmas. So you took it. So reach out and get the kids involved, where every year you... do something of generosity, mm-hmm. Something generous for other people.
I like that.
Just in your community, the people right around you, to help share.
I think another thing you could, I agree. I think that's a good, to be an outward sign of the reality that is about to come.
Exactly.
And I think another thing would be for inward purposes would be to reach out to somebody that you've held a grudge against. Or to somebody that you may have offended, that you know that you've offended, that you haven't maybe asked for their forgiveness, whether it be through a high school person, a family member, your parents, father, your mother, somebody that you may maybe your parish priest, maybe you've said something to him that's you're concerned you may be offended. So I think that this is a great opportunity to seek forgiveness, mm-hmm. and that right there I think would be a great outward sign of what the Christian life is about.
Yeah.
And if we're preparing for our death, if December 25th is our last day, making sure that you have covered your bases and received forgiveness from everybody is a good way to go.
Right. Yeah. Any type of preparation, if the sacraments aren't part of it, then they're fundamentally flawed. Right.
Right.
So drawing closer to the sacraments always is a penitential season staple. Okay. I just want to also throw this out. There's this notion in the last 5 years or so that Christmas is about family, and Protestant churches are closed on Christmas, where they're not.
They are.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's a lot of Protestant churches who they have no service on Christmas because Christmas is about spending time with your family. And no, it isn't. You should be spending time with your family, but that's not what it's about. It's about Christ, and it's about service to our King, okay? And if your church says going to church is not how we serve our King, then you are going to the wrong church, okay? If your own church can't say you being here is worshiping the Lord, and so therefore it is good for you to be here on Christmas, then you should not be going there. I mean, so Christmas is about Jesus. It's about loving our Savior who came and took on flesh, an act of infinite humility to redeem us. He came as a babe in that moment knowing he was destined to suffer a painful death, rejected by all, so that we might have eternal life with him.
He asks us to be his friend.
So let us prepare our hearts and minds and souls to welcome Christ into our own lives in a new way again this Christmas.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus. Any other Advent stuff? What about you, Juan?
You didn't talk about the nativity.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. So this is one thing that... So, they don't do Christmas trees in South America?
Some, but it's not the main
thing. That's not the thing. They do at the nativity inside the home. So, yeah, I actually did want to talk about the nativity. That is my favorite. Like, I meant to bring it up in Christmas lights when we were talking about that. Because, you know, some people put out a nativity, and that's when it's like, yes, you are adventing the right way. Because I think we need more nativity scenes in front yards. Well, I've been wanting to get one for a long time.
And don't put baby Jesus in the manger.
Right. Try to find, like, personally, the one I want is, like, not... Okay, well, I would love to have a big wooden, you know, like, gorgeous... You know, manger scene. It would have to collapse. I don't know where I'd put it, you know, like the rest of the year. But also, I know...
At Juan's house.
Yeah, Juan, you have an attic.
Yeah, Juan can do it.
But I also know that that's like $1,000, you know?
But Joan would be okay with it.
Yeah. And I don't... if I was going to get one, I wouldn't get like the flat one, you know, that's like you stake in the ground and it's kind of an outline of the barn, you know, and you can just kind of see the outlines of Mary and Joseph in the manger. That's great. I mean, when people, I'm not hating on those.
It looks like T-Rexes with the table saw.
I'm not sure what you're talking about, but anyway,
okay.
I'm not hating on those, but the one that I would get would just be like the plastic, you know, maybe even they glow at night. I don't know why I like those. I think it's another nostalgic thing. But if you're going to get the plastic one, you have to get one that baby Jesus isn't like part of the mold for the manger. You know, because, yeah, you can't put baby Jesus in.
This one?
Yeah, stuff like that. You think that looks like a T-Rex?
Two T-Rexes fighting by a table saw.
See, I don't think they look like T-Rex.
That looks like a T-Rex. That looks like a T-Rex.
Oh, okay, I see. The mouth. Okay, I see that now. Yeah. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about. It's just like a outline cutout.
Yeah. Looks like two T-Rexes fighting by a table saw.
You shouldn't do that. You're ruining manger scenes for, like, everybody across the country.
Didn't that look like two T-Rexes fighting by a table saw?
I didn't see it that way until now you said that.
Right. Yeah. See, like,
and
stop,
I ruined
stop.
It.
You stop
ruined,
what you're doing.
You yeah.
Christmas.
And I ruined it.
But I have this idea of getting some... that have the wise men and starting them off across the yard, and as we get closer and closer to the Epiphany,
yeah,
you know, like every day going out.
Well, that's what Juan does.
And I would,
that's what Juan does in his house.
Inside, right. But I'm talking about doing it outside. I would like measure it out and determine it's like, all right, so many days, it's exactly, I need to move them all like 4.5 inches every day. That's exactly the kind of thing I would do.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think that is something you would do.
And so they just get a little closer every day. But I think that that would be cool because I think there's a lot of Protestants out there who think the wise men were there on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't.
Mm.
They were there like several days later on the Feast of Epiphany. That's what the Feast of Epiphany is.
Here's something else that I thought of that we've been trying to incorporate over the last couple of years, and I know you have as well, is that lighting a fire in the fireplace.
I almost brought up fires because it is like it. You start to do it in Advent
because and it's a focal point in the living room, right?
Right.
You and I both, all of us, I think, except for Jim.
See, I don't think of them as an Advent thing.
I don't know about Jim, maybe he has a TV. Do you have a TV in your living room, Jim?
Yeah. Oh, Jim, you disgust
Jim.
Me. That is disgusting.
Just joking, Jim.
When my kids leave the house, I'm bringing my TV back downstairs. Absolutely.
But, you know, because we don't have a TV in our living room, the fireplace, the hearth, is the focal point of the living room.
Yeah.
And so when you light a fire, you know, there's obviously something that's kind of majestic about it in general that you kind of gravitate to. But, man, I sure do love the moments of being able to light a fire, have the family around it, reading a book or listening. Like, we've listened to classical music before around the fire just to...
Yeah.
Try to appreciate it because we are so far, we just don't understand.
You do have to learn to appreciate classical music. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something you have to do on purpose. I don't think very many people are just like, oh, I like classical music.
They're trained to.
Not these days, anyway. Because you have to be patient.
I had a crazy moment hunting the other a couple weeks ago relating to this. Can we talk about it? Or do you
sure.
think it's not really related to Advent? But
that's okay. So it's a short story.
Yeah, yeah. It's related to classical music, though.
Okay.
I was sitting there in my deer stand, and I was like listening about what was going on, like just around me, and I thought, like, man, I can hear the wind coming. You know, that's a couple seconds away before it actually comes. And I can see and hear the leaves fall, and I can hear the squirrels jumping around, and like I can anticipate all these things that are happening around me when I have nothing else to focus on but just my surrounding area. And then I thought, man, I bet, you know, this anticipation of like the sounds that are coming and the appreciation of when they come out here in the wilderness is very... there's a parallel to classical music when you understand classical music, because then you hear these French horns they're just barely going in, and they blare, and like you hear the drums just barely go, you know, and then they go really loud. And like I realized there's a parallel here between just listening to what nature is and being able to understand what is happening and the anticipation of what's going, the sounds that are coming from nature, parallel to classical music. Of understanding what's happening and the anticipation of what's coming ahead of it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I've never thought about that, but...
And once I did that and made those parallels, then I started, like, listening to more classical music on my LP, putting more LPs on, and, like, I started realizing, I can hear, these low trumpets coming, and then, like, the blare really loud. And, like, I can anticipate and understand, like, what's coming ahead before it actually happens. And that was a realization that I had while in my hunting stand.
Nice.
Has nothing to do with Advent, but it has something to do with me trying to appreciate, appreciate classical music.
Yeah, you have to have patience. If you want class, I mean, if you don't like classical music, could be because you have no, you can't sit still,
and that's hard to do.
It is hard to do, yeah. But I want to finish up about the manger scene.
Let's talk about it.
He has got a nice manger scene in his house. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of doing the Christmas tree,
you want to learn.
Are you anti Christmas tree, Juan?
No,
you kind of are. Let's be honest.
You're a little bit.
You are a little bit. You're a little bit anti Christmas tree.
I'm just not far enough to do it. I'm just anti. I'm not talking you into taking it down.
You're just not pro Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have no good feelings about the Christmas tree, but you don't dislike the Christmas tree.
I have a Jesse tree.
You have a Jesse tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do like how having the manger scene inside. Mm-hmm. And so in his house, he puts that's where the presents go.
Juan did around. A really good job of living liturgically. I don't know if you know this.
Yeah, but he does.
He does a good
job.
So
the presents are all around the manger, as if, you know, like the wise men, right? It's like as if the wise men were putting them there, even though that's...
Dude, I hope
the wise
that
men
I get
are
some
not there
gold.
Yet. They're not there at Christmas.
No, I
saw a Babylon Bee article today where it says the wise man who brought myrrh didn't get the memo that... Or no, I thought that there was a spending limit on
there's a $5 spending limit.
I thought we all agreed to. I brought myrrh because we agreed that we'd not spend more than $10,000. Yeah. I thought we talked about that, guys.
Kids are jerks.
With over here with your frankincense and gold. If you guys don't follow the Babylon Bee, you're just missing out, you know?
It's hilarious.
So, but that is the I think that the manger scene aside is like perfect. It's exactly because it's Christ focused,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it keep even as you're opening presents, you're doing it around Jesus, you know, like it's exactly, it's the right, it keeps the mental focus in the right place. Also, this is something that I'm not prepared to do, but it's something that like, I wish I like one of those things like, oh, I'll give you some advice that I'm not going to do, but drastically reducing the number of presents you give to your kids.
Okay. So here's the thing about this.
Drastically reducing
I did this last year. Okay. So I, cause we have, you know, my parents and my in-laws are, they shower kids with presents. Right. And it's just like, guys, you gotta put the brakes. And Haley and I decided, no, we're not going to buy them a lot of presents because they're already going to get a lot of presents as is. And we don't want that to be the, you know, we don't want to set the standard of a lot of presents. And you know what happened? The night before Christmas Eve, I went out and bought a bunch more presents. After I told Haley, we're not going to do that. Because we wrapped them all and we put them underneath the tree. And I like looked at them and was like, there's not a lot of presents. They're going to be disappointed.
Right.
And I went out and I just completely annihilated the plan. And Haley, because she's super holy, she like stuck to like, this is what we said. We're going to do this.
Right.
This is, and like, I was like, no. And I went out and I bought a bunch of junk is what I did. I went out and bought a bunch of
just
like,
made in China
junk that they probably used one time and that was it.
Right.
But I wanted them to have more presents. So like, yeah, that's something that I really got to work on.
I'm the same way because I, you know, you watch your kids open these presents at Christmas.
And it's like and the it's best. Like
they're, yeah. I... It's me. That's what I'm saying. It's me. It's not them.
No.
It's me. That's why I said I'm not prepared to do it.
I tried to do it last year.
I think that if you are stronger as a parent and you can do it, I think your children will benefit. Because
it's like a man who's like, my flesh is just weak. My spirit is ready, but my flesh is weak.
It's like, I know that I have a misunderstanding in my own mind that I'm even conscious of what it means to give good things to my kids, you know, and what it means to love them. Like, I want them to know that I want them to have everything. You know, I do want them to have everything. But the thing is, I know that I'm depriving them of more important things by giving them all these presents that they don't need.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even want. You know, it's like you try to come up with stuff that they want. I bet they would like that. They don't even know. They don't even know that, like, this exists.
Right.
So when they don't get it, they won't be missing it.
Man, I'm totally guilty of this.
Yeah.
I have a story.
Okay, one.
One.
A tip.
This is now the Catholic Man Show via Juan.
I had a great advice online. If we put in practice several things that we did here today, so if we have a fire going, you grab an empty Amazon box
yes.
and you wrap it up.
A bunch of them.
A bunch of them. And every time your children misbehaves, you grab a box and you throw it in the fire. And they... Their behavior will improve just dramatically. Exponentially, I might say.
Yes.
So, give it a try and let me know how it goes. Hashtag, why did I hear Juan?
Wait, what? Hashtag what?
Why did I listen to Juan, I think, is what he's trying to say.
Well,
you're whining again, so here goes another one. Also think about, like, how much an empty box is going to burn. It's going to be like, I better watch that pretty close.
Yeah.
Can your chimney catch on fire? You look it up. It can! Oh my gosh! So
be
just,
holy.
Just like...
Be holy. Be holy.
Yeah, like, but really the whole presents and kids thing... I'm not strong enough, and I need to be stronger.
You do. clearly. I'm like the virtuous guy who, like, decides...
Right, one each.
I'm like the virtuous guy.
Do one each?
Yeah.
One each. I'm the virtuous guy who, like, decides, I'm going to be virtuous from now on. And, like, I am going to do this.
I'm just
going to
do it.
I'm just going to start being virtuous. Like,
I'm just going to be holy.
I don't think it's a habit anymore. It's a decision I'm going
to
make.
No, I'm holy because I choose to be holy.
Right.
All right.
And then the first sign of weakness is, like... Oh, that, yeah, I'm out.
Mm-hmm. So if I was going to do it, I think I would do three each. I just saw this one time on, like, Facebook, and I said, yeah. It said, if Jesus got three presents on his birthday, like, why do your kids get more? And it was, like, hard for me to answer, but it's like, well, I guess I...
Well, he got gold.
I guess they're like, yeah, you know what? That's true. It's like, well, he did get, like... $1 million or I don't know, like, how much, you know, how much,
I don't even,
was it like
I
a
didn't
talent?
Realize, I mean, didn't how realize the value of frankincense either.
Right. Oh, it's expensive.
And it was, like, super valuable.
I mean, it was, like, only the princes and, like.
It's super valuable, like, medicinal purposes.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they would use it in burial.
Yeah, but it was also for medicinal purposes.
Like, what, would it get you stoned or something?
No, 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 no. It would like, help with healing of wounds. Like, you put, really? Like, frankincense on, like, open wounds and things like that, and it would help heal.
What was it?
It's kind of like, it's like the Neosporin of 33 AD.
Wasn't there something about, like, gall? Like, they would mix wine with, like, was it myrrh or something? I don't know if that's true or not. But I felt like I there was something
just sour wine.
Yeah,
sour
it is. Wine. It is. But I think that they would sour it.
Oh, why would they do that?
Well, because it had like a numbing effect.
Yeah, so but there's plenty of sour wine.
No, no, no. But it wasn't just sour wine. It was wine that they had at the crucifixions that would numb. It was
anesthetics.
Yeah, it was an anesthetic. Yeah. Yeah, it had some anesthetic properties that would like numb the victim, so that they would, I think, die faster, but also they would suffer less, you know, and so that's why they had it there. So I want to say that there was something about his birth that was also present at his death, you know, and maybe it was myrrh, and also maybe that's totally not true, but I think I've heard something like that.
The church has said it.
The church has spoken.
Yeah.
You heard me. So anyway, yeah, like the whole presence thing, it's so hard. And, you know, like it's more complicated because they'll talk to their friends or even like other family members and
neighbors.
Why did, you know,
Johnny got the 72 presents.
Our family, you know, like, oh, you get together as a family and this other person in the family got all these presents and I got 3, you know.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.